Good afternoon. Welcome to Hockey Central. Kicking off another week as my dog barks in the background. Welcome to broadcasting from home, ladies and gentlemen, as is Anthony Stewart and Justin Bourne broadcasting from home on this edition of Hockey Central. Gentlemen, good afternoon. Before we get into the hockey, the weekend that was and the week that lies ahead, Stewie, I want to start with you, the gift master. Turtlenecks, go.
I don't know. I was going to say I've read many leather-bound books, Yaz Flutes, and every other Anchorman reference that was used on Saturday night. And I guess TV's all about taking risk, and Elliot took a big one. And actually, he got a positive reaction. I think Canada loved it.
It was great.
So it was great. It was a great turtleneck. I can't pull it off. I haven't worn a turtleneck since my grade 5 pitcher day pitcher and for school.
Oh, is that right? Bourne, when's the last time you wore a turtleneck?
Oh, my God. Could you imagine me spouting advanced analytics in a turtleneck? I would be banished to another dimension from the viewer.
Dude, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Sportsnet Now pitch guy, but that's kind of what it would be like.
Awful.
Don't you think?
But I'll just say quickly here, Jeff, right before you go live to air, you're taking your notes, checking your notes. So David Amber didn't see him sitting there for a good 5 minutes. And right before he went to air, he looked up and he started laughing. And he's like, there's no way you're doing this. And he just started laughing. So we had to hold in our laughter because we're going live to air right away. Man. So he caught DA by surprise.
It was awesome. I loved it. Good for Elliot. The turtleneck makes his debut on Hockey Night in Canada. And as we saw on Hockey Night in Canada, a couple of different games here that we will go over. We'll start with the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens. I want to get to Calgary and Edmonton as well. We should spend some time with Vancouver and Winnipeg from the weekend as well. Tonight, it is Calgary and Toronto, the only two North Division teams in action this evening. 8 games around the NHL. Toronto 5, Montreal 3. And front and center on this one, Stewie, will be and was Auston Matthews. Now, the fallout from this, no Thornton tonight, no Hyman. Jake Muzzin has a broken bone in his face, so he's going to come back with the Goldfish Bowl when he comes back. Drawing in Mikko Lehtinen, Nick Patan, and Barabanov go in this evening. But what did you make of the Auston Matthews show on Saturday?
Well, I'll start off by saying we need to get CJ in because I just changed the line from 38 to 50 to 52 now. So it just seems that every time he touches the puck, it's going in. And I thought with Carey Price stepping up the other night, there was going to be a difficult task for him to really score. But he's almost like Ovechkin now where he just finds little areas to get open. And I want to know on his first goal there on the power play, like how do you not step in the lane and take that pass away knowing that that's Auston Matthews? He can place the puck anywhere, and it just seems every time he's on the ice, he's a threat to score. And I've been saying this since last year, that release is the best of all time. I love Joe Sakic. I know Mike Modano's saying easy, Stu, but just the way that he gets that shot off, it's from a former player, I'm amazed, and I wish I could teach kids how to do that, because the way that he shoots that puck, it can go high, it can go low, and the goalies don't know when it's coming or where it's coming. So for Auston Matthews, the sky's the limit, and people are saying 50 can't be done. I say he does it. He's shooting the puck like nobody's business.
Yeah, I thought the same thing with Edmondson on the PK, taking away the net front guy when Marner had the puck on the half wall. I was just like, come on, like take away the shooter here. I'm sure they had a conversation about that. But one thing I think is getting lost in this is how unbelievable Mitch Marner has been, particularly at, you know, finding a guy who finds soft spots. Like Matthews finds these little holes where he gets shots off, but you need someone special to find him in all those spots. And Marner looks as good as he's looked in a long, long time. Seeing him wherever he is lurking to be able to put away those one-timers.
It's almost as if Marner's playing more like a center and Matthews playing more like a winger. How would you, if I said that to you on TV tonight on Hockey Central, Justin, what would you say?
I would say on the offensive side of things, absolutely it is. Just one guy lugs the mail, right? Like it seems like Marner has the puck for more seconds per game. And Matthews, it's just on his stick and off his stick whenever he can find those soft spots.
18 goals in 18 games for Auston Matthews. Normally, when you see shooting percentages like Auston Matthews, you say, you know, you push your glasses in, you say, okay, not sustainable. 24% shooting percentage for Auston Matthews. The thing about it that I look at is, A, it's ungodly high, but B, given what Stewie just said, given what Justin just said, I don't know how much down it can go. Like, I look at that, or will go, rather. I look at that second goal. Like, the power play goal is, well, okay, it's a blown lane block by the Montreal Canadiens. It's a one-timer. We've seen that before. It's a tough save to make. Like, that's a goal that the entire team is working for, setting up Austin Matthews, and he finishes. I look at the shooter versus goalie dynamic. Like, when it's just the shooter and the goalie, what happens? And we saw that on the second Matthews goal, where he scores it from some distance, and it's just him and the goalie, and it's Carey Price, and he puts it by him. There's no, like, well, it was a screen, oh, it was a tip, oh, you know, they worked it around 5-on-4, 5-on-3. This was Matthews versus the goalie, and he just, and like, Justin, he just beats him clean. Like, that's just like a shooter's goal. It just beats him clean.
Yeah, well, he's in a special groove right now for sure. You know, we've talked a lot, and Stewie's talked about the release and the change of angle and all the different things that he does to beat the goaltenders. You know, he's done this stuff all the way along. Right now, it's all kind of coming to a head with, you know, his age, the softer division with softer defenses, with playing with Mitch Marner, with XYZ. Like, it's all just falling in. But you're right, at the end of the day, you think most NHL goaltenders stop a lot of unscreened shots, and Matthews just has that right amount of deception and pace and accuracy to beat just about anyone from anywhere.
But I think with Matthews as well, is like, I think he's very particular with his shot selection. I know he's averaging 4 shots a game, but I think he can get up to 6, 7, 8. So I think even on that second goal there, I don't think Price thinks he was going to shoot. I think he was maybe going to do like a backdoor redirect or a bumper pass to whoever's sitting there in the back door there. So I think with the goalies, they don't know when it's coming or where it's going, because he can dish the puck at an elite level. So I think part of it is from the goaltender not really knowing, is he shooting, is he passing, is he going high, is he going low? Because take a look at all his shots. He doesn't have a tell. I always talk about, he's not dropping his hand, he's not dropping his shoulder, he's not, you know, staring at a particular angle. He's just, it's on my stick, off my stick, it's in the net.
18 goals in 18 games. Maple Leafs face off against the Flames tonight. Just for some context here, what would be more impressive to you guys? Austin Matthews scoring 50 goals or Connor McDavid at over 100 points? Because we're trending both.
I'm going to take the goals thing. I think the stat is that 5 players in NHL history have 50 goals in 50 games. It's happened 8 times ever. You know, he'd be awfully close to that to get to 50. You know, points are unbelievable, and just, you know, not to take away from the other thing, but the goals thing to me would stand out as more special.
I say the goals, because I urge anybody to go watch a game in 1984 and just watch the goalies like topple over as the puck like goes on the ice. So I know it's different areas and it's really tough to compare the two, but 50 goals in 50 games is, I think, an amazing feat to be done in 2021 with the goaltenders, with the technology, with the video, goalies being big, more equipment. 50 and 50 is more impressive.
Do we have a thought on the Montreal Canadiens coming back down to earth here? Not just the loss against Toronto on Saturday, but also a loss last night, albeit overtime, so they pick up a point against the Ottawa Senators. Are we, Justin, recalibrating our thoughts on the Montreal Canadiens at all?
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, what's funny is, like, I think we have them kind of appropriately calibrated going into the year. They got out of whack with their great start, and now I think they're kind of back to where we thought. We expected them. I had them penciled in at 4th in the division. I think they're 4th in the division now, so I think it's a pretty reasonable spot for them to finish up. But the problem that we saw coming was, I'll do a Berkey. We called it real time. Was that they were going to have some trouble scoring. They were around 20th in the league in scoring last year. This year, you know, they added, you know, Toffoli is an addition, but other than that, it's the Domi for Anderson swap, which isn't that huge of an upgrade offensively. So are they going to be able to score enough goals? And the answer to that question the past 7-8 games has been no.
Stewie? Thoughts on the Habs?
I think they're struggling a bit scoring goals, and obviously Toffoli's sniping at a real pace. Anderson as well, but you know, Drouin's got one goal in 17 games. Gallagher's only got four goals for Tatar and two for Kotkaniemi. So I'm assuming that they were waiting for some of these guys to really, really step up. So they control their own fate. They got a bunch of games going against Winnipeg. But the one thing I noticed with their game, they just don't seem to have the legs on the forecheck. And when they were having success, they just came in waves and turned pucks over. So it just seemed like they got away from their forecheck. A lot of their D is carrying the load. So I think they need some of their fours to step up if they need to get back into this race.
4-5-1 in their last 10. Montreal are there now in fourth position. In the Scotia North Division after last night's overtime loss against the Ottawa Senators. A couple of things. No Muzzin, so it'll be Dermott and Hall as a combination. Zach Hyman with the shot off the skate, and then he gutted it out and put the skate wraps on and got right back out there. No Joe Thornton as well. Do we have a thought on the players coming in and the players that will not be available tonight, Justin?
The big one here is Travis Dermott, and I think this is a big one for him, just because Sheldon Keefe had mentioned he's been waiting for this, he's been looking for this opportunity. You know, top 4 minutes are tough to come by with this group, and you know, he's played with Justin Hall in big situations. I know, you know, they won a Calder Cup as a pair for Sheldon in the past, and you know, this is kind of a do or die year for Dermott, who kind of took prove it money this season, and to prove that you're worth more, you have to make it count when you get your opportunity. So he'll get, you know, probably plays 18, 19 minutes a night, something like that, which is, you know, five more than he's been getting. I think that's what I'm most interested in. I feel like Barabanov is running out of time. Well, we will see if he can have a moment or two to say, hey, maybe there's reason to give me more looks, but pretty much everyone who's had looks on the bottom line has shown more than he has so far.
Well, it looks like my boy Travis Boyd's on the top line today, and he's been a pleasant surprise this year. But I think there's a lot of guys, the 4-5-4s, that are sort of trying to give that Denny Lemieux treatment, where they're saying, you know, trade me now, I'm not getting the opportunity. So now's there's opportunity now. So I'm sure that coach Sheldon Keefe had some conversations with the players saying, hey, you're going to get your opportunity. You need to make the most of it, because again, eventually this team's going to get healthy. So you got to show that you'll be able to step in and do the job when injuries are coming and going. So there's 4 or 5 guys I'd like to see now step up, now that they're going to get their opportunity and get some significant minutes.
The nightcap game on Saturday, nightcap game rather, we saw the Calgary Flames and the Edmonton Oilers. The Battle of Alberta wasn't much more than a skirmish, really, when it comes right down to it. This one was tilted to Edmonton Oilers, huge 7-1 victory over the Calgary Flames. I kind of looked at this one, and we'll get into this more with Ryan Leslie at the bottom of the hour. I looked at this game and I said, or I wondered, is this the game where Jacob Markstrom hit the wall? I mean, they have been running Markstrom hard. And let's not forget, when he was Vancouver, there was always a discussion about, you know, it's impossible to play this guy in back-to-back. It's not going to be strong enough. We can't do it. And then he gets to Calgary, and it's all Markstrom. It's all Markstrom all the time. Dave Vertic can't get the crease. It'll be Markstrom again tonight, by the way, as the Flames face off against the Maple Leafs. Justin, we'll start with you. How did you read Saturday's game? We'll get more into it, as I mentioned, with Ryan at the bottom of the hour, but how did you see the second half of Hockey Night?
Well, you know, it's interesting reading some of the comments from people who saw him in Vancouver more. You know, Thomas Drantz is a guy we've had on who's mentioned him in the past, that when he gets tired, the comment was that he gets a little bit adventurous, straying out from his crease and takes, you know, some bad chances and isn't as composed. And he did look a little bit like that to me. It's interesting because Rittich is a guy who was an all-star, what, last year? Like, it should not be that scary to put this guy in net and give Markstrom a little bit more time off. So what concerns me with Calgary is I had last game penciled for a push game, where the media noise gets loud, the team noise gets loud, there needs to be a pushback from a good team, and there was nothing. And that makes you wonder, is there pushback within that room, or is this a team that's going to roll over and just accept their fate as a non-playoff team? I certainly hope not, but looked like that night.
Stewie?
Well, there's going to be certain, you know, games in this season, I'd say probably anywhere from 15 to 20 games, where it's going to be the Connor McDavid show, and there's nothing you can do except for grab some popcorn and get a front seat. And last night, Saturday night, was Calgary Flames' turn, and there's nothing he could do. He had 5 points through 2 games, and he just took over. He capitalized on the power play, capitalized on every single mistake, and it just seems like McDavid was actually in cruise control the way that he took over that game. So as much as, you know, you want to point the blame at Calgary and the breakdowns and this, that, and the other, it was just that Connor McDavid show. So I think for Calgary. They got to have a little bit more discipline. They were taking too many bad penalties. You got five power plays against, you know, one of the top power plays in the National Hockey League. So a little bit more discipline, but, you know, there's something in the water in Calgary, and I'm sure Mr. Leslie will tell us about it here, what's going on behind the scenes, because this team I had pegged, I think it was second or third in the division, and especially with Markstrom and Tanev. So they can't let Markstrom out to dry, hang out to dry, because he's too good of a goalie. He needs a supporting cast to help him out. I'm looking for some of the top guns to step up and get them out of this rut that they're in.
I don't know that I want to call this a make-or-break week for the Calgary Flames. We're probably getting a little bit closer now to starting to have make-or-break weeks for teams around the NHL, but the Calgary Flames have a pair against the Maple Leafs and then three against the Ottawa Senators. So this is Calgary's first crack at a team that you know, many are looking at saying, okay, well, there's your guaranteed points, and you move along. Keeping in mind, Ottawa has given the Maple Leafs fits and have given most recently the Montreal Canadiens fits as well. Mentioned Connor McDavid. Let's get on the Oilers page here. As you bounce around the North Division from the weekend, want to get to Vancouver and Winnipeg in a sec. Connor McDavid front and center again, just a nice casual 5 points. I don't know that we should be surprised at this point, Justin, by anything that Connor McDavid does, but did anything jump out at you on Saturday about McDavid, or is it just, look, this is what we're accustomed to with Connor McDavid? He puts up a five spot, just say, okay, it's a day that ends in a Y.
Yeah, he's I think this is peak McDavid, right? Like, you expect by sort of the fifth year of a player's career, an offensive player, that's when you're going to see their absolute most unstoppable game. You know, a guy like McDavid, too, on a good team in a weak division like this, man, there's just nights where he looks... You know, by the way, the Matthews noise is getting louder about Matthews as a potential heart guy, and certainly he would be in that conversation. But, like, you watch McDavid in that game, it's just like he's so dynamic, and he controls the pace of the game. The whole game moves to his gravity. I just don't think there's anyone like him in the world right now.
If you want him to beat the record for most points in a game, I'd like for him to sort of be... What's the record? Is it 10 points? 10-point game?
10 points, Daryl Sittler, 76.
So if he was 11 points from this goal-scoring race in the last game of the season, it was against Ottawa, I guarantee you he would put up 11 points. And he was one of those guys... I guarantee you, if he really went for it that game, he was in... Every single bounce was going his way, but he was just creating so much offense. In that third period, if they really put the pedal to the metal, I honestly think he could beat that record. That's how good he is. And I know all the old-school guys are going to be like, oh, that's impossible at 2021. He is that good. So I would, I'd like to see that, please.
You know what? The interesting thing about that, I think this is worth the conversation that you just bring up here, Stu. I think this is interesting. The idea of beating the 10 point mark, because generally when a player's up to like around seven, or maybe even six, or in Saturday's case, five, the game is over. And I just wonder if there's just such a different mentality now with hockey teams and specifically coaches that there wasn't in 1976 when Daryl Sittler broke the record, smashed the record, and got 10 points against the Boston Bruins.
But so
then
what?
Then it didn't. But here's the thing. Like, then it didn't seem like it wasn't like, oh, offensive. They keep firing Sittler out there and 8 points, 9 points, and it's a rout. And Jerry Cheevers has a towel over his head saying to Don Cherry, don't you dare put me in to clean up this mess. You know, we're leaving Reese in there to clean up the entire game. I just wonder if the mentality of hockey teams is different now. Normally, when it's a blowout game and you get into the third period, even if a player has like 7 points, isn't there an expectation that the coach shuts down the big players as to not really stomp a team?
Boy.
Am I off base on this one?
No, I see your point, but like, if a guy has 8 points on your team and there's 10 minutes to go in the hockey game, you're putting him out there, right? Like, you're getting him in the mix, I think. So there might be a point where, yeah, you're at 5, 6, 7 points and going, okay, we're up too many goals to keep rolling out PP1 here. But once you get to 8, I think you got to see. So I get your point. It is a little different, and this is unlikely to be a close game at that
point. Do you not worry about it getting ridiculous, though? You see how teams react.
Well, no, it's not the 70s, though. It's not the 70s. Back then, I'd be more worried because the fight could spill into the parking lot. They could be jumping on your bus. The fans could be coming. In 2021, what's going to happen? They're going to say something that was bad in the media, and you know, there's going to be an article beautiful in the sun. And that's about it. But we're chasing greatness here. And, you know, to have 5 points in that first half of the game, I think that's the second or third time this season we said, can he do it or will he do it? So I'm sure if they put the pedal to the metal, 10 points, 11 points, I think it's an easy feat for McDavid.
It would be an interesting question for Dave Tippett. You know, Connor McDavid's got 7 points going into the third period. Do you shut him down? Do you just play him as regular ice time, or do you double shift them to chase a record?
If he, they die, they know. Die.
It's too, I feel like Tippett is going to give you the do the right thing for the good of the team type of thing.
That's what I think, too. I don't know the answer, but Justin, my instinct is yeah. Just because Dave Tippett is
coach,
an old
right?
school guy. Of course.
Like, I think Sheldon is throwing Marner over the boards if Marner's sitting on 8 points in the third period. A lot more likely than Dave Tippett, for sure.
It's an interesting conversation. We'll pick up a conversation about the Calgary Flames at the bottom of the hour. They lose to the Edmonton Oilers Saturday 7-1. Five-game road trip for the Flames this week. Tonight, they'll face off against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Puck dropping just after 7 o'clock in downtown Toronto. Vancouver Canucks and the Winnipeg Jets. Disappointing last night from a Vancouver point of view. Fantastic, obviously, for Winnipeg on a couple of marks here. One, they pick up the win, and two, it's Pierre-Luc Dubois with a pair of goals, including the overtime winner. Scheifele's point streak now at 10. Vancouver's got a 2-0 lead in this one. Like, they get out of the gates. And I know that everyone looking for retribution against Derek Forbort for what he did to Nils Höglander, and Zach McEwen's in for Louis Eriksson, and he handles Forbort in that fight. But at the end of all of it, it's the Winnipeg Jets 4, the Vancouver Canucks 3. Before we get to the game, Justin, I want to ask Stewie a question. Stewie, in that Derek Forbort fight, the Zach McEwen fight, so McEwen's got him. Normally when a guy is either down or on his way down, there seems to be now more so than ever a gentleman's agreement that you don't throw anymore. Were you surprised at the last punch?
No, because you have to send a message. If you're defending your own honor, yeah, you know what? You let him off the hook there, but you got to send a message. It is not acceptable to touch rookies or take liberties on rookies. And Höglander's a guy coming over from Sweden, and, you know, he doesn't really know the truculence of the game. So to really take advantage of him, you know, I don't think that's really, you know, that's not good for the, you know, not good, because, again, that's just bad luck. So for me, if I'm in that position, my teammates, they expect me to now send a message to that guy and let him know this is unacceptable. And, you know, you throw an extra punch, because now the message is well received. Now, next time Forbort goes into, you know, a situation like that, he'll take it easy on Höglander or a younger guy, knowing that this is not a guy that usually partakes in these types of activities.
Okay, so there's the fight. Now, the game. 4-3, overtime, Pierre-Luc Dubois with a pair. Scheifele was excellent again. He's been great this season. How did you see Vancouver-Winnipeg, Justin?
Just heartbreak for this Vancouver Canucks team. You know, I got to be honest, Jeff, this sounds awfully degenerate of me, but when they were up 2-0, I went and bet on Winnipeg just watching that game. Like,
Hang on. Did you say just degenerative of me?
Yes, degenerative.
Take my money.
I did. I just don't trust this Canucks team. They have no confidence. That Jets team has lots of talent, and man, it just feels like losses like that are going to continue to deflate the group. Like, it doesn't seem to matter what they do. The results have been frustrating and over. So, you know, I feel like they need to go on a run or something, because the vibe there right now is not positive.
What do you think of the game, Stu?
I'll take the glass half full approach, and you got to look at it. Some things are rolling right now. They got a power play goal. Patterson got 2 goals, so hopefully now this can steamroll and get him going and getting his confidence, because he's stuck at 7 right now, and he's too good of a player to only be at 7 goals at this point of the season. So we'll see. Hopefully that springboards him and gets some offensive going. But with the Vancouver Canucks, they got a point, so you got to work with that, I suppose. Why is it bad news for everybody? It's bad news for Vancouver. It's bad news for Calgary. It's bad news for Ottawa. We're just going to call this division the Bad News Bears.
Oh, no, it's good for the Maple Leafs. It's good for the Oilers. Winnipeg's feeling pretty good about themselves. Yeah. But that's the thing about, like, when all the points stay in the division. Like, you're right about this, Dewey. When all the points stay in the division, it's just a roller coaster. Like, who knows? Like, what happens if all of a sudden the Calgary Flames rip off 5 wins in a row here? And they could. You know, they could.
The Flames absolutely could. They're good enough.
Like, they're good enough to rip off 5 in a row here and totally change everything. Vancouver's in a difficult spot here because the pace that they're going to need to play at to make the playoffs is, I don't want to say it's elite, but it's real. It's a tough pace that they're going to need to play at. But that's what happens when all the points stay in the division.
I already wrote that's them off it. Like, Jeff, don't forget.
What's that? Yeah, Loft.
We already gave him the...
Well, I feel sorry. I feel sorry for blank talent.
I feel
sorry for a couple of players on this Leafs roster when they come back down to earth because the pitchforks are going to be coming, and they're going to be coming in full swing. I'll tell you that.
Pitchforks are already out. You see Nylander get benched in the third?
Yeah, but they're going to be coming out because they can't play at this clip for the rest of the season. They're going to be going on a 3-4 game slide. They're going to be losing, you know, possibly 6-7 out of 10 in one of these segments, and the way that it's going now, there's going to be front page, back page, middle page covers coming out for some of these guys. That's a fact.
It's more like fondue forks on Nylander right now. The pitchforks aren't there yet, but we're coming.
Fondue forks. Yeah, we didn't mention that before we get to the bottom of the hour break here. What did you make of Nylander grabbing some pine on Saturday night in the third?
I thought it was bigger pitcher thing, right? Like Keith mentioned, he doesn't bench guys. That's not a thing he does. He's not Tortorella, unless it's at the end of a line of things that they've already discussed several times. If it's effort and they've discussed it several times and he's sitting, not a good thing. I can't imagine he'll be playing above the third line once the team's healthy.
Well, I'll tread carefully because I'm not sure how many Neanderthals are listening right now, but you have to find a way to get guys going, and you can't just keep putting guys out the same thing and expecting the same, you know, different results. So you got to play around with his ice time a bit. You got to move him up and down the lineup. You have to find a way to get him going. But you notice when other guys aren't going, they're not really catching flack because they're at least doing other details of the game. And I think that's something where Nylander's got to focus on. When you're not scoring, what else are you bringing to this lineup other than sick flow? So that's something where he's got to figure out. But again, he's too good of a player. But again, I'm not going to really make a big deal about it. He's still putting up points, but we're talking about this team making the next step and being a playoff contender. They need every single guy going, including William Nylander.
Would you, Stu, would you move him away from John Tavares?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Maybe move him up. Put him up a couple shifts with Marner and Matthews just to try to get him going. But at the same time, if he's not moving his feet or not working hard and getting pucks, Marner and Matthews are going to say, you know what? Get him off this line. We don't need him here. We need guys to get us the puck. They're going to work when we're not scoring goals.
What about you, Borny? Would you move him off of JT's line?
Yeah, I just, whether you healthy scratch him for a game or you give him the third line with, you know, Engvall and Mikheyev or something like that for a night or two, and he just that soft lineup spot cannot be given without the effort. I don't see how you can reward him to try to get him going. So yeah, they're up in the division. They could afford to put him down for a night or two.
And this better not end up on the front page of the Twitter section, because I'll go on vacation for like 2 years.
Gonna get referred to as getting radioed, Stewie. Let's hit a break here. We'll get on the Calgary Flames page. We should probably spend some time with the rest of the. There's some interesting things that may end up happening tonight. One of them involving the Buffalo Sabres and Jeff Skinner. Did not play on one of the four regular lines of practice yesterday. Strong hints that he may be scratched tonight. This is the Sabres coming off a 3-2 win against the New Jersey Devils on Saturday. That is an expensive scratch right there, ladies and gentlemen. Also, Trevor Zegras called up from San Diego. Adam Henrique went on waivers and cleared over the weekend. He's now on the taxi squad. Looks like Trevor Zegras poised to make his NHL debut tonight for the Anaheim Ducks. But a couple of other things to get to as well, including Ryan Leslie. He's next to get us all caught up on what's happening with the Calgary Flames. And are things as bad as we're making it out to be? That answer in a couple of moments with Ryan Leslie on Hockey Central, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to the program. 8 games on the go around the NHL this evening. Only 2 teams in the Scotia North Division in action. The Calgary Flames will face off against the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Flames 8-9-1, Maple Leafs 14-3-2. Leafs coming off a big win against the Montreal Canadiens. The Flames a disappointing loss in the Battle of Alberta on Saturday. Ryan Leslie covers the Calgary Flames, rinkside host and one of our favorites around these parts. And he joins us now. Ryan, before we get to the hockey and before we get to the Tkachuks and Monahan is back, et cetera, et cetera, Your thoughts on Turtleneck Saturday, as we're calling it around these parts, with Elliot Friedman. You go.
Well, I think a lot of credit goes to Carolyn Cameron, who had shades of Rhoda in the amount of turtlenecks and blazers. May lose a few people with that reference, but I knew you'd get it, Jeffy.
That's a good one.
Yeah, with the megaphone and the blazer and the turtleneck. Elliot and that meme where he was kind of dancing and head bobbing, that was unbelievable.
So good, so good.
Was it a full turtleneck? I didn't get that out west. Did it go below the top button, or was it just one of those fake neck turtleneck ones?
Stewie was there, so Stewie, you can speak with more authority about
extended
the turtleneck
neck.
Than
it
I
was
can.
Full turtleneck, and not the tin one. It was the tick one, the very tick one.
I mean, just want to see him cruising around the studio with no blazer and just the turtleneck. That's confidence.
Yeah, that is. You know what, though? Right now, I don't know when Elliot took an I don't give a care pill, but he took one a while ago. And right now, he's feeling it. He's in Friedman's in a good spot right now.
That guy's an unmade bed right now.
No, this is all calculated. I think I think it looks great. I just hope that he continues growing his hair out, too. Like, it was the beard in the summer. Now it looks like he's growing out the feathers and he's got the turtleneck. I hope he continues with it, man. I really do. Look, man, pandemic is hard on everybody. Like, at least Elliot's like, hey, if you need a laugh, I'll get you guys a laugh.
Have we checked in on that little spot at the back there? Is that thing at the top of the head? Is that thing starting to grow and take a life of its own?
Hey, that's off limits there. What's going on there? Come on. You can't be going that. That's a low blow. Come on.
I don't have hair, Stewie, so I can just fire at will.
That's right. He can fire a cannon in a canoe and still be still. That's Ryan's got all the ammunition he needs. Okay, so listen, Battle of Alberta is always a big deal. Games against the Oilers were a huge deal in Calgary, as we all know. That was a miserable outcome for the Calgary Flames. The way I looked at it, Ryan, was this goalie looks exhausted and everything follows from there. Am I on the mark, or did my dart totally miss the board?
No, I think that's a part of it, but that's not all of it, Jeff. And there is a lot going around and a lot going on. And I don't know as though, you know, everybody's got their own take, and that's fair. And I think, you know, there's a lot that you could point your finger at and say, well, this isn't working or that's not working. The schedule, the COVID, the players, the coach. I mean, it's all this sort of perfect snowballing storm. And I'm not sure, to be completely upfront with you, what it's going to take to get it to change. Obviously, wins are what's going to help, and they make the biggest difference. But right now, it's a group that needs to dig itself out as a collective group from top to bottom. And goaltending, sure, he was fatigued. I don't think, he's not going to play tonight, I don't believe. And, the goaltending situation was the story early on, keeping this team afloat. And now it's up to the team to kind of get the goalies going again. So certainly fatigue, the way it's been handled. I think, they had that early 5-day break, and then you had Markstrom going up against his old team. So it became a tricky one to manage. Mm-hmm. But it's one that, honestly, guys, they were the reason why they're still in this thing, early on. And, a couple of bad games. But Connor McDavid can do that. Certainly Austin Matthews can as well.
So, Ryan, how do you explain, you mentioned there's a number of factors, what's going on with the Flames right now. Basically, I'm going on TV tonight with Mr. Jeff Merrick, and I'm going to try to explain the Calgary Flames' woes. Since the Jake Muzzin incident with Matthew Tkachuk, do you chalk any of it up to something to do with that, to do with team chemistry?
No, not at all. That's a little blip on the radar. That thing was nothing. Matthew Tkachuk flips or gets a puck flip in his face before breakfast every day. That's nothing. That doesn't register with him at all. The Battle of Alberta is in the past, what we've seen over the last year and change, couple of years, that's a little bit more, more of a gauge or a template. But I think, no, that wasn't anything. And I think that was just maybe a matter of you react as you do when anybody does something like that. But I think that anger kind of came from the start of maybe where some of these problems originated. And I think it's having each other's back. I think it's, getting everybody on the same page about sending a message, battling right to the end. And I think as a group, they were starting to have some conversations, team meetings, some issues, some frustrations, and those were the early days of it. But I don't believe, and in fact, I know that that really wasn't a thing in this group. I know we kind of make a lot of it, and certainly it was fun and delicious to dive into, but not really a thing. I think they've got bigger issues that they want to address, and I think tonight is kind of is a really good opponent, because you go from, can you imagine, Connor McDavid scorching hot right into this thing. Like, this is what you need right now to get right back up. It could go sideways, or it could bring out the best in you. And I think there was, you know, some talk about how, you know, when they played Edmonton, I think that they knew, or at least there was a conversation about, I shouldn't say they know, there was a conversation from the outside that they knew that something could go sideways. And it did on the second night. After playing it pretty well the first night, not the most exciting game against the Oilers on the Friday, you kind of had a sense that maybe McDavid may go off, given where Calgary was as well. And so now you better, you know, have licked your wounds and get ready to get right back at it, because you cannot be humiliated again.
Stewie?
Sam Bennett seems to be in Jeff Ward's good graces. It looks like he's going to be skating on a second line with Monahan and Goudreau. He had a fight the other night and a big hit. You know, where do you see his game so far since he was healthy scratched a couple games ago?
Yeah, that's a roller coaster, Stewie, to be honest. One minute you think it's great, and the third line, let's say him and Luch and Dubé are playing well together. The next, he's dropped to the fourth. The next, we see him stapled to the bench. Now he's back up with guys. It's like sands through the hourglass. So are the days of our lives. It's a soap opera with this thing. And he's a good guy. He's not disruptive. His teammates love him. It's just a really hard situation. One, it's really hard to pinpoint what you're going to see from day to day. He's a quiet guy. He's a proud guy. He's a hard worker. You saw that fight. You know, I think Sam Bennett, once he gets going, whenever that is, wherever that is, who he's playing with, doesn't matter. He can be an effective player, as we've seen in the postseason. But I'm a big fan of that guy and what he brings. And I don't want to say exactly like Nazem Kadri, but I think in the Toronto market, you know that when you lost Nazem Kadri, you were looking for a Nazem Kadri. And I think it's the same. If Sam could tap into that, I really believe the Flames will be so much better off, because this guy is a lot of grit, and he's undercover tough, and he can score, and he can fight, and he can just bring a sandpaper. And I'm sure you guys have heard enough of Berkey talking about him, because I think he's a pretty big fan of him as well. But
yeah,
I loved his line. I call him Grumpy because he's always grumpy. Was that Bennett?
That was Sam Bennett. I call him Grumpy because he's grumpy. Yes, that is Berkey on Sam Bennett. That's the thing, you know this, Ryan, from being with Brian out there. He loves grumpy players. Like, he loved Chris Pronger. He loved Ryan Kessler. He loves Sam Bennett. Like, Berkey likes a guy that gets to the rink and the first thing he does is complain about the coffee. Give me that guy all day long. Now, I was making this point before you came on. I don't know that we're at a place in the season where we can say this is a make or break week, but does this feel like one for the Flames? A pair against the Maple Leafs and then three against the Ottawa Senators. How does that feel to you?
Jeff, this is a make or break week for the Calgary Flames. I completely agree with you. This is pivotal. They know it. Everybody knows it. You are spot on. And Jeff Ward certainly knows it. His players certainly know it. Brad Treliving knows it. This is huge because we can talk about what happened against Edmonton, a couple of games, a home and homer set. You go into Toronto and you go after that and take on the Senators. A couple of weird start times for Calgary. You know, you're in the East and you got a real early one on Saturday. And that's a hard-working team. That is a hard-working team over there, as you guys know. Regardless of what the scoreboard says, they're going to come to the rink and they're going to put their work boots on, and Calgary needs to adapt some of that. If they don't get some results here, I'm not going to put a number on what they need, because I think everybody kind of knows if you don't make some hay here, you're in a whole lot of trouble. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it. That's just the facts, man. That's just the facts. And they know that.
So they need 8 points then, is what you're saying.
I'm not going to do that, Jeff.
Go ahead, Borny.
I feel like this Flames team is, like, of all the teams who feel out of position in the standings, like, compared to expectation, the Flames team, they seem most likely to climb back to a good spot. Like, there is good defenders there. There is good goaltending. There is good forwards. What do you see from this group in terms of that happening and the likelihood of it? It feels to me like they've just been underperforming, not that they don't have the team talent.
Yeah, I think you're bang on with everything you said there. When you have a goalie, you have a chance. And for the first time in a long time, I know goaltending wasn't the problem in Calgary in the postseason the last couple of years. Mike Smith was brilliant when he needed to be a couple of years ago. And then, Cam Talbot got the job done as well. But in the regular season, the Calgary Flames haven't had a solidified goaltending situation for a while. Markstrom's the real deal. And when you have him, you have a chance. They've got some, Chris Tanev has fit in seamlessly and made those around him, including specifically Noah Hanifin, even better. So you've got some pieces there. But up front, you've also got Johnny Gaudreau, who's been rolling, and you needed that bounce back. And you've got some players who have more, and when are they going to find it? So Matthew Tkachuk admittedly has not been good. Matthew Tkachuk admittedly says, I need to be better, and this is on me. He said that prior to the Saturday game. He was kind of trying to do everything he could to get things going, but it didn't work. And he's got to find more. So there are guys there, and Sean Monahan, into the game likely tonight, he's got to be better. That's a 30-goal scorer over there. So there are a lot of reasons to think that it's going to happen. But we can talk about it, but they can talk about it. And, the whole story of getting down in a game, they just can't get a lead. They're always digging out. You got a couple of basic areas you got to correct, and it's not too far-fetched to think that you can do it. But until they do it, it's an issue, and it's been an issue for far too long around here. And everybody inside that locker room is sick of it, and everybody behind that bench is sick of it. This is they're in a bad way. They're in a bad spot. This is not overhyping. This is not media sensationalizing it. This is a bad thing that's going on with a good group right now. The expectations are certainly higher. Brad Treliving has done everything he feels he can to address certain things, but it's not good enough right now. Those players, those coaches, and I think there's a lot of pointing the finger at themselves right now versus one another. And we'll see if they can dig out, because it has been a harmonious group. And then when you add some key pieces that have actually worked out, you would think that this thing is going to turn around. But there's not a lot of time, and the more you dig a hole, we knew this division was going to be lights out, didn't we? And it's living up to it. And So certain teams were going to be better than we thought, and certain teams might surprise people with that they slipped. Calgary's trying to figure out how not to be that right now.
Stewie, last one to you.
Okay, so you mentioned that this is a make-or-break segment, but what would be the consequences if they end up on the break side as opposed to the make side? Could you see some personnel changes, maybe up top or with the roster? Not trying to put you on the spot, but what could you see happening to sort of get a jolt in this roster if they don't end up on the right side of things here?
Well, man, I think it's honestly like anywhere right now. Could there be a significant move? Yeah. Minor moves, tinkering, little, I guess. Is that going to change things? I don't know. I get the sense, Stewie, that a major move would have to be done, if this thing goes sideways. Now, if I had the answers, I'd probably be the boss, but I really believe that right now everybody is under the microscope, everybody. And, you can talk about players, coaches, GMs, you can talk about all of that. I don't know as though they're there yet, where we've seen in the past, where it's just a matter of time before something happens. I think this week will determine what that is. I think we'll have our answers after this week if it goes really, swimmingly for the team, or if it goes sideways. I just think that we're going to find some answers here pretty quick. I think we're just kind of approaching the cliff one way or the other. They're going to turn around and go the other way, or they're going to go over it. That's how pivotal it feels right now.
Huge week for the Calgary Flames. All kicks off tonight. We can watch it on Sportsnet West. It is the Calgary Flames facing off against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Also watch it on NHL Live. Ryan, always a pleasure getting your expertise on the Flames and turtlenecks, my friend. You be well.
Boys, this is great. Let's do it again. And listen, it is killing me not to be back in Toronto right now because I'm a Southern Ontario boy, or Dover. Yeah. And everybody there, I hope everybody's doing well. I miss it. It's one of the best trips on the calendar traditionally. And I guess just enjoy the game tonight.
The only shoveling you will do now is on the radio with us.
I'm in.
Beautiful. Thanks, Brian. You be well, bud.
Thanks, boys.
There he is, Brian Leslie. Covers the Calgary Flames, ringside host. It is the Flames. It is the Maple Leafs this evening. One of 8 games on the board. There is, as we go to break here, guys, a tweet from the Buffalo Sabres. It is the sharpen up what you need to know. They're playing the Islanders tonight. So let me see if there's anything that you guys would include in this, because the Buffalo Sabres on their Twitter include 3. Number one. The Sabres face the Islanders tonight, 7 p.m. faceoff. Number 2, Buffalo coming off road win over the New Jersey Devils. Number 3, Jake McCabe returns home for MRI. Is there anything else you'd like to know about this game tonight between the Sabres and the New York Islanders, maybe involving a $9 million player? We'll talk about that next. Hockey Central continues. Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Leafs and Flames tonight, 1 of 8 games on the board around the NHL. The other, of particular note, and we've kind of been hinting at it all program long, the Buffalo Sabres facing off against the Islanders. Sabres coming off a win against the Devils on the weekend. They're 5-7-2. They'll face off against the 8-6-3 New York Islanders. And it looks as if $9 million Jeff Skinner may be a healthy scratch tonight. Stewie, we'll start with you on this one. Guys, we got about 45 seconds. That's a $9 million scratch. That is an expensive press box tonight, Anthony Stewart.
Yes, and you asked if I'd want the team to be announcing it. No, I've been healthy scratch like 50 times in my career, and the last thing I'd want is for the team to announce it beforehand.
Just on the need to know is like, I think Buffalo Sabres fans might want to know that one, but yeah, point well taken.
He's near the top of the NHL in players who have the most shots without a goal. The guy is absolutely snake bit right now, so hopefully this will jumpstart him and get his attention. I don't know.
Well, but that's just it. Like, it's not as if he's not getting chances. Like, we've seen players go, if he wasn't getting chances, that might be another thing. I don't know. This one's weird in Buffalo again. Back tomorrow.